Connors. Welcome to episode 234 of CosPod Podcast for all things cosplay. Woohoo!
Woo.
I'm so happy that fits in my mouth. Some days better than others.
It just becomes kind of a garbled mess at some point because it's just so many numbers back to back since we're in the 200 plus realm now.
It's not even numbers. It's having to say CosPod Podcast for all things cosplay. It's because all the sounds are so similar.
That's your fault.
Yes, I know. But, you know, we started it when podcasting was still kind of becoming a thing.
Thing, yeah. And now there's so many cosplay-related podcasts out there. It's funny.
That's what all the cool kids were doing back in the day.
We were cool before it was cool.
Back when cosplays were made out of cardboard and hot glue and fabric stapled together.
Duct tape, yeah.
Actually, I think duct tape is now a bigger thing than it used to be because they do the whole duct tape prom dress thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's actually acceptable to make, we'll call it fabric in air quotes, out of duct tape.
It's fun seeing people use materials in ways that they're not intended to create fabric-like looks out of things that are very much not fabric.
Oh, man. One of the things I miss about AllCon, since I don't have cosplay updates, I'll speak briefly about this. If you guys have a chance to go and see the 3D printer space, the vendor at AllCon, they actually have 3D printed fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can print scales or spikes or any number of shapes directly onto the fabric so that it will fuse with the fabric, since 3D printing is plastic.
Yeah.
It will basically infuse the plastic into the body of the fabric so that it can't come off. You don't have to worry about adhesives at all, which is fantastic. And it still drapes just like fabric.
Yeah, it's got a really nice feel to it and not a whole lot of weight because it is plastic, so it doesn't feel like you're wearing 30 pounds of chainmail.
Right. And it's just gorgeous. You can still tell it's 3D printed because mm-hmm. the demo samples they had, they didn't finish off. But then again, they're also demo samples, and I don't expect that. So with even more work, you could make it look even better, but still, it was so cool.
Yeah, some of that stuff is up on Etsy now. I've been perusing Etsy a lot lately for reasons, and I've seen a couple of those. And even just 3D printed just chainmail sets just by themselves, not even on top of fabric. It was nice. It's good stuff.
They've made all sorts of really cool advances with technology as it deals with cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
You can do so many more things now than we could back in the day.
When all we had was our duct tape and our craft foam. Yay! Hype.
You know, I still swear by duct tape whenever I'm repairing things or trying to hold something in place while I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
As well as hot glue.
Oh, yeah.
I will swear by those things. Even when it's, you know, I'm a stickler for chemical adhesives.
Sure.
But I will still fall back on hot glue and duct tape as my number one and two.
Yeah, there is just nothing that can compare to it. They're easy to use, easy to access. You can pick up the crap literally anywhere. I mean, easy to travel with too.
For the most part, which, speaking of, since conventions are starting to announce that they're coming back,
mm-hmm.
if you wish to start assembling your emergency repair kits again for when you go back to conventions, duct tape and hot glue are fantastic things to include, and they generally don't take up very much space.
Right.
We do have previous episodes on assembling emergency repair kits. In fact, I think we've done it twice over now. So if you guys head over to our YouTube channel, you can actually go and watch those. Generally, emergency repair kits, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they change very much.
No. It's usually the same stuff every single year. It's, I always include safety pins, even though I personally don't use them. I bring them for everybody else, but it's the hot glue, it's a needle and thread, it's scissors. It's pretty much standard all across the board, because if you don't need it, your roommate probably will.
Right. And even with all of the fancy things that they've come up with to make cosplay like uber amazingly awesome, we still generally fix it with the same stuff that we used to, even when it was made with lesser materials. So you can go watch both of our episodes, and they should still hold up, even currently, for those just starting their cosplay careers, now that conventions are slowly coming back in sort of hybrid forms.
That'll
or
actually
entirely in person.
Right. That'll actually transition nicely into my cosplay updates, because I actually have stuff. Woo! Go me! It was a shock. Since you're talking about conventions, something that surprised me is that World Cosplay Summit is happening this year. They're doing a hybrid version. They are doing a video version for their main contest, and then they're doing something in person. Just some cosplay things for those who are local to the area. They're not asking people to like fly in and do stuff. It's just they're going to have stage events, some little cosplay photo booth areas. They've got rules and stuff set up specifically for COVID restrictions and whatnot. So I was a little surprised to just see that they're going with the video format. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Hopped onto their website. I shared the information on our Facebook page because I was like, oh, that's cool. They are going to be announcing the US finalists at Anime Expo and their virtual event on July 4th. So we'll know then. And then I think it's taken the weekend, like the first or second weekend of August is when WCS will take place. But there's not a whole lot of details other than it's going to be a video-based contest, and that's about it.
There's still a lot of travel restrictions in that part of the world, and I know that there's the new Delta variant that's unfortunately picking up steam in some areas, so it's probably good that they're being cautious so that they don't want to spread, especially since Japan is already hosting the Olympics right beforehand, so there's already going to be a bunch of people traveling around, and it's going to be mass chaos.
Exactly.
But generally, and I'm assuming that things are probably going to be done the same this year as they have in previous years, but you can watch World Cosplay Summit if you sign up with Nico Nico.
You got it.
And they will stream it. And you don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is register and have an account with Nico Nico. And you'll need to calculate, if you want to watch it live, you'll need to calculate in your time zone when the event will take place, because they're not going to do that conversion for you. If you can't watch it during your time zone, which I think usually for us it ends up being at like 3 or 4:30
in the morning, it's something
which
ridiculous
is really early. So they do offer, for other countries around the world for whom it is a weird time of day, you get one what they call time shift. So you can sign up and then you can have a one shot delayed viewing so that you can sign back in later on the next day and then watch it, but you only get once. You don't get to replay it over and over again. So keep that in mind when you sign up for an account, is you'll need to choose when you're gonna have your one viewing. It's still a ton of fun to watch. We watch it every year.
Oh yeah, it's still enjoyable. It's really cool just to see what people come up with, and usually whatever like the top three winners are, that tends to be the trend for the next year when it comes to cosplay and skits and props and building and all that type of stuff.
I remember when LEDs and sound was the big thing, when they did the large, they're not really kaiju cosplay, but the large robots.
Yeah, large mechas.
And thank you. That was the word I was searching for. I don't know why my brain blanked out on mechas for a second, but also, I remember when the transformation costume was a big thing.
Oh, man. And then that just
layers
went
and layers.
Bananas afterward. Oh, my God. Like, everyone and their mom was doing the transformation costumes for years.
They still do.
Timbuktu.
Even as late as the most recent one, there were still entries that were doing the transformation costumes.
Oh, yeah. That one really just kind of stuck and kept on going.
It's still really cool when you see it in person.
It is.
And to see one in person, it's very cool.
When you get it done right, it looks fantastic.
Another episode of using things in the way that they potentially weren't intended to, but hey, if you ever wanted to know when you're going to use those engineering skills that you learned in school, you know, the whole chart of when am I ever going to use this?
Right.
Math and science, that's how you use them, and you look cool doing it.
I wish they would have told us that.
I know.
Because then I would have paid
It'd
more
so
attention.
Much more...
It would have been more fun.
It'd be so much more fun.
Yeah.
I would have paid more attention, definitely.
Yeah. If I had just known, but I didn't know. I thought it was just trigonometry. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Nope. I wasn't a bad student. I did pay attention. I just would have paid
more attention. So yeah,
All
that's
right.
WCS stuff. I thought that would be cool to share. And then let me go ahead and share with you guys the goodies that I have purchased over the Memorial Day weekend, because it was a bunch of fun little goodies. The first thing is, this is going to look like a behemoth, but this is a circle flower tool for your sewing machine. If you have a low shank machine, it'll fit any machine, a Singer, Brother, whatever. And low shank is basically every commercially available machine for home sewers. If you have a high shank machine, it probably means
Every
you have,
modern one.
yeah, if you have a high shank one, it's probably a very expensive embroidery machine or a very expensive sewing machine that costs like 3 grand or more. But I thought this was kind of cool. It was only like $8 when it was on sale, and I was like, you know what? I think this would be really cool. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but basically, you hook this up to your machine, and depending upon the width and length of your thread, it will create different types of flower patterns, and this will help ensure that the flowers maintain their nice circumference. So this will be a fun little thing that I get to play with. Not sure when I'll use it, but I will definitely be using it. That is for certain. And then we remember that last time I talked about the lovely ruler that's supposed to help me when I'm ironing things. So
The one that won't melt.
here's the thing. So it ain't plastic like I thought it was supposed to be. It is made of some non-melty material. It honestly feels like heavyweight interfacing. That's what it feels like. But
It
I've
looks like the it's like the cover fabric that you use underneath ironing board covers. It kind of
Right?
looks like
It
that.
kind of looks like it, does not feel like that whatsoever. I will say this though, I mean, the nice thing is that because it is very, very flexible, which is great. I tried it on a couple pieces of fabric, had no problems whatsoever. It's got a little bit of a texture to it, so for your lighter weight fabric, it can actually kind of grab on and hold it in place, which is really, really neat. It's not the type of grab on or hold where it's going to tear or anything, it's just very, very delicate. But this has worked fantastically for something that only cost me $2. So,
Have you
yeah.
actually ironed on it?
I ironed on it. I even used my new little ironing grips for my thumb and four fingers. And it worked magnificently, and I did it on different types of fabrics, all the way from silk up to cotton, so I did the full gamut. And yeah, this is going to be a game changer for me of all the dumb things. Go hunting during sale weekends, kid, because you'll find things that you think, well, this is silly, I need to try it. And then you'll realize your life will be forever changed.
The next sale weekend in the United States is in about
3
3 weeks,
weeks.
4th of July weekend.
4th of July weekend. The other thing that I bought was I went to Firefly Path and she was having a sale, like 30% off all her patterns. And I was like, I'm going to give this a whirl. So I went ahead and downloaded one of her patterns. This is a bolero pattern with dragon scales on it. It looks really cool. Even without the scales, I like the bolero, and I'm like, you know what? I have all these materials at home. I am gonna give this a shot. So,
I know which pattern you're talking about.
it's really nifty. I like it. So I'm curious to see how this will turn out. I make no promises that this will be good. At the very least, the bolero part will look nice. I don't know about the dragon scales. That's all questionable. I wish I had the fabric out to show you guys. It's this really cool iridescent glow to it. So it looks more like reptile scales, but it's in blue, gold, and like a red pink tone. It's got a very cool gradient across the way, but with an iridescent shine on it. So when I start cutting it out and putting it all together, I think it'll look really, really cool. We'll see.
What
But yeah.
else gonna cosplay as a gecko?
A very bright gecko? Are there any geckos that are that color?
Besides the Geico
Besides the Geico one, like, but
gecko.
even he's green.
I know, but they can change color.
This is true,
That
yeah.
that's what I was referencing with the fabric is it, you'll
Gotcha.
color
A
change.
color change. And that kind of is what it looks like. It does that nice little gradient change to it. So
Exactly.
that'll be entertaining. And a mess. Assuming I can ever get my dress form out of the corner and actually utilize it, that'll be its own problem. So, yeah, for cosplay updates, that's what I got. I'm showing off all the things that I have purchased, and I spent under $40. And this was just a fraction of what I purchased. Sale weekends are great, and I have not purchased anything costuming or sewing related in a while, so hey, why not? Kept it under 50, that's all that matters.
And you probably got far more than $50 worth.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the flower circle tool was, like, retailed $23, and I got it for $8. That right there is huge. It's unbelievably so.
That's the key. It's like going to Joann's and they show you how much you saved on your receipt.
Yes. That is the best thing ever.
It makes me feel good.
And you just look at that little box and you go, I did good today.
It's like saved $113. Yeah.
It's the best.
$113 I can use on more cosplay stuff.
Exactly. I could buy more hot glue sticks.
You know, I actually bought a pack of hot glue sticks, which I don't have sitting next to me because I already put them away in my craft cabinet for right now. But I bought the extra thick ones.
Yeah.
What they call standard size.
The standard size.
Most of the ones that they use in modern glue guns are actually minis, which mini doesn't mean short. It means thin.
Thin.
Right. You'll still get a full, like, 6 or 8 inch glue stick. It's just thinner than what they call standard. And it's because I saw an instructable on how to make crystals by simply slicing it with a box cutter into a hexagon shape, or a hexagonal cylinder, technically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just cut a point onto it and crystal.
Yeah.
Because if you guys didn't know, hot glue is a thermoplastic. It is plastic. You're just melting it and using it like an adhesive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a glue, but we kind of use it like one.
We use it like one.
But I saw an instructable where somebody actually made a nightlight.
Ooh.
By doing this. By making crystals, and then they took all the shards that they cut off and chopped them up and made them look like crystal shards, and they just glued everything onto a little they're the closet lights that you tap to turn on, the LED ones. They glued all the crystals on top of that and made a nightlight out of it.
I know so many cosplayers who use that.
I don't need a nightlight. I don't need another nightlight because I have plenty of camping lights and such. But I would like to make crystals out of hot glue because that would be so much easier than casting them.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and found out that you can't buy a package smaller than 20. So I will now have 20 crystals once I get my box cutter out. And you have to be really careful when you do it because hot glue sticks bend.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll bend when you're trying to cut them and slice them vertically too. So I'm going to have to be careful not to slice my own fingers open.
Yeah, please don't do that.
There's not really a way you can brace them when you're cutting them for this. And also, pro tip, kids, box cutter blades don't last forever.
No.
They do get blunt. They get dull. And they can also rust. Box cutters themselves can be opened up so that you can trade out the blades. And you can just buy a pack of blades. They're like $2 mm-hmm. and you get 6. And also, a tip from me to you is, please dispose of them responsibly for the sake of the people who have to garbage collect. Please look up on the internet how to properly dispose of razor blades. How to safely dispose of them. That way nobody hurts themselves. Especially if you have young children or pets. Safety first. I found out when I went to start experimenting that my own box cutter blade had rusted.
Mm.
It had been a while since I had last used it, so I had to go trade out the blade. But I have a pack. I have a 6-pack of spare blades. Just goes to show you that, you know, nothing lasts forever.
Especially when it's a box cutter.
Yes. But then again, I also get a lot of use out of my box cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to make panels for my bookshelves to keep dust out. So I was slicing into foam board all over the place. The foam board I was going to use for the insulation panels in my apartment, as it's 94 degrees outside and it feels like 106. And I found that I just can't make them the right size properly because none of my windows are all the same size. So I just took painter's tarp, and I just taped it over my window.
Hey, you know what? That works.
It works. This is how I'm going to try and keep myself cool as I work on cosplay indoors for the rest of the summer. I have to keep the heat out because it is literally melting some of my adhesives to the point where I can't use them.
It was only a week ago that we were submerged. So, hey, there you go.
It only stopped raining 2 days ago. To be fair, now it's just extra, extra humid outside.
Per usual.
Which is sad because I was supposed to go spray paint outside this weekend. And it's like, great, it's not raining anymore. Now it's 70% humidity. And if you've ever spray painted outside at 70% humidity, it does not set. It will stay wet. Or it will bubble, which is actually worse.
Worse. Because you just cannot get rid of it.
You can't fix it.
Nope.
You can't. You can't just paint over it. You actually have to sand it off and redo it. Not that I've ever had to do that on a project.
No, of course not.
Oh, that was such a painful project too. Anyways, should we move on to our main topic?
Yeah, let's move on to our main topic. So, a couple of weeks ago, Amber did her lovely experimentation with trying to make foam look like leather, and she did a couple of really interesting and unique ways.
Scientific method.
It was
Another
very
thing that
much,
you learned in school.
exactly, very much the scientific method. So I thought it would be a cool idea to actually go ahead and give you guys the full tutorial, two different ways on how to make foam look like leather, plus painting them. So I hope that you guys enjoy. A few episodes ago, Amber experimented with making foam look like leather. I'm going to cover a full tutorial with two different methods to get the leather look, as well as how to paint the foam. Using foam to look like leather is a great cost-saving measure if you are unable to source leather or pleather. And it's great for those characters with really specific leather designs that don't exist in the real world because leather doesn't have the bizarre lines that you might see on your favorite anime character. Here's what you will need: craft foam, anywhere from 1 to 3 millimeter, ironing board and iron, pencil, selection of paints and several paint brushes. Get various shades of brown and gray, as well as black and white if you need to customize your paint. Paper towels or shop rags, you don't really mind getting full of paint, and aluminum foil. For the first method, we are going to iron the foil onto the foam. You do not need to preheat the foam for this. Set your iron to medium heat. With the aluminum foil, lightly crinkle it, starting from the ends and working inward to make a ball. Don't compact it too tightly. The goal here is to be able to unwrap the ball. If you crinkle too much, it won't pass as a leather look. Once you've made your ball, gently unwrap and flatten it out. Place the foil on top of the foam and then iron it down. You'll be doing up and down pressing motions with the iron. You only need to hold it onto the foam for about 2 to 3 seconds. It's quite fast. And as you can see, the foil is getting more crinkled as you press. You don't need to go overboard when you make it into a ball. When you're done pressing, remove the foil and inspect your work. If you need deeper lines in some of the leather, take out a pencil and start drawing into the creases. The best time to do this is while the foam is a little warm. This is great for more cartoonish styles of leather work. And don't worry about the markings, this will be covered by paint. The second way is the stamping method. I prefer this one because it gives you more control over your pattern and can create a really cool aged texture. Prep your aluminum foil by crunching it into a ball. Go wild on this one, because it doesn't matter if it rips or tears, you will not be unwrapping it. Try to make a handle for yourself because you will be using this like a stamp on the foam, and it's just easier this way. With your iron on medium heat, quickly press and heat the foam for about 1 to 2 seconds. It will curl up quickly, so don't overdo it on the ironing. Then, using your foil, start pressing it into the foam.
change up the direction and how hard you press to form different designs. The foam will cool quickly, but you don't have to rush it to get this done. It's best to work in small sections and heat up the foam as you go if you need to cover a large piece. If you want to redo an area or add more texture, a quick press of the iron onto the foam will heat it up again in about 1 second. Be careful though, this will undo some of your work. Heating up the foam will cause it to try and revert back to its original state. You can also use the pencil again to make deeper lines and in-depths to help add to the look. Now that the foam is set, it's time to paint. I'm going for an aged traditional leather look, which means using a mixture of both light and dark paints alongside a non-gloss finish to seal. If you want a new leather look, use richer pigments and seal with a glossy finish. The method of painting that I will be doing will translate to your project. The only differences are the colors and the finish. I'm going to start with my base coat, which is a bark brown. Because I'm using a bristle brush, I need to be aware that my paint job will leave streaks. To combat this, while the paint is wet, I use a paper towel and lightly dab all across the foam. Lightly is the key word. Don't wipe, don't press. Keep as much of the paint on the foam as you can. This is your base coat. This helps blend in the paint and give it a little more texture. Once dried, I use a lighter brown that I mix together with white paint. This is one with the wipe method where you paint it on and then you wipe it away. Then we move on to the dry brush of black. This is meant to go into the crevices of the leather to help make those areas pop. Dry brushing means dipping the brush into the paint, wiping some of it off with the towel, then you brush it onto the foam, or you dab it, and then you use a towel to wipe it away. You may need to do this several times and really mush it into the extra crinkly areas of the foam to get it to pop. The key to painting is to take your time. Let the layers dry before moving to the next phase. And experiment. Sometimes you don't know if something will work until you try it. If you don't like it, you can wipe it off or you can cover it up. With the second piece, I ended up using more black and light brown to really highlight the age of the leather in the crinkles, and I ended up really liking it, so I stuck with it. When the paint is fully dry, seal it. You can use any water-based sealer. Since mine is a non-gloss finish, I like to also give the illusion along the edges and corners that there is still some life left in this leather, even though the owner no longer oils it. I do a dry brush of silver metallic paint and then wipe that away as well so it only sticks to the areas where I want it to appear. And there you have it! Your foam leather is ready for its cosplay debut! You can see both foam pieces side by side with their different foil press techniques and paint jobs. Both versions have their uses and can help take your cosplay to the next level. And we're back! Hey! Hope you guys enjoyed it. So that was two different ways of not only making the foam look like leather, but also painting it a little bit differently. And as I mentioned a couple times in the video, depending on what you want the paint job to look like, you're gonna have to use different types of paints. If you want to make a more of a shiny gloss on it, you have to change out the type of sealer that you use, or you can even use floor polish. Floor polish is fantastic for a nice glossy shine. And I went super animu with my dents because my thought process was, I want people from 20 feet away to see that this kind of looks like leather. So I went super anime. But hopefully that was a very helpful tutorial for you guys.
Florex is kind of one of those go-tos.
Yes.
Among cosplayers, you can use it for sealing a lot of things.
It's super wonderful.
It's kind of like the kitchen helper of cosplay. So it's one of those things you can keep on hand.
Yeah.
But you don't have to keep it in large quantity.
No. You just need a little bit and it goes a long way.
Right. Kind of like the Hexflex bottle that I'm still working on.
Yeah,
That's what I use in the tutorial because I'm still like, I'm not even halfway down to it. There's still so much of it left, and I'm just slowly making my way through it.
Yep, I'm about halfway, a little bit more than halfway through my bottle.
How long ago did we buy those? Oh my Lord.
Like 2 years.
Is
2 years.
it has it been 2 or has
About
it been
2 years.
longer than that?
No, it's been about 2 years.
Okay.
Because we either bought it at Alcon or Arlingcon, one of the two.
We bought them at Arlington. I remember that.
Yeah, we bought it directly from the vendor.
We didn't go in 2019. Well, I went in 2019, but my camera footage got lost. We went in 2018. So it's been more than 2 years.
3 years.
Good
Almost
Lord.
3 years.
But the fact that it's still working after that long,
Oh, yeah.
that's insane.
As long as you keep the bottle sealed.
Yes, then you're fine.
It's. I want to say it's not water-based
I think it is
because I think we had
water-based.
asked. Is it?
I think it is. Hang on. Let's find out.
The reason I ask that is because acrylic paints, which are also water-based, even if you keep those sealed, 3 years later, your acrylic paint's not going to be any good. I'll tell you that from experience. Even after 1 year, acrylic paint's no longer good.
Well, unfortunately, it does not have a list of ingredients.
It's proprietary.
It does say that.
I know for sure that it's not latex based because when we were
Oh.
at their vendor booth, I explicitly asked her about that.
Flexible water-based paint. It's on the front, and I
Okay.
totally didn't read the
That's surprising. And it really is still good. There's,
Yeah.
you can't, it looks like it came new. You can't tell it's not dried out or anything.
Yeah, he can. There you go.
ASMR, Tesla style.
It's still good.
I really do love that stuff.
It's
No,
really great stuff.
We're not sponsored by Hexflex, guys.
No,
We
no.
both we tried it on a lark and it just ended up working out really well as a product for both of us.
Because I typically use Mod Podge, and I don't use Mod Podge anymore. I
Oh,
just
this
use
is
Hexflex.
far. In
This is
fact, I'm trying to
great.
use up the Mod Podge that I have.
I have a little bit of it left, and I can't find a reason to use it, and it's
I
about to
have a
dry
lot.
out. So I'm like, oh crap, I'm about ready just to toss it because I don't think I'll get a chance to use it.
Actually, I use it to seal non-flexible things. So, like, for example, wood plaque.
Yeah.
I use Mod Podge on this because I will never have any need to try and bend this. Anything that you might try and bend, use Hexflex.
Yeah, please use this stuff instead.
Incidentally, speaking of things that you want to use for a purpose that is not their intended purpose, I found something at the store when I was working on crafting, not cosplaying, but this can be used for cosplaying, is if you ever need wire for any reason, but you don't want to have to worry about the wire poking you or shredding through something, in the floral section, they actually have something called cloth stem wire,
Yeah.
which is thick wire. I want to say this is probably a good 16, oh, it says 18 gauge, so it must be wrapped more than once. But it's basically wrapped with thread more than once from the gauge of this, because this is really thick wire. But for $2, you get 12 pieces, and they're long. This is, it doesn't even say how long it is. It'd be really awesome if it did, but I want to say this is probably 18 inches. So if you ever need wire for cosplay for any reason, this is actually really good safe stuff. I really like it. I kind of wish I had known about it for the other times when I've used wire in my prop making.
Yeah, when you gotta go hunting for something and you don't know where to look and you can't find it in the sewing area, go hunting in papercraft and then go to the floral section of the craft store because you'll find some very interesting finds back there that you never thought of applying to your costume until you see it and you go, oh, that's it. That's the thing I need.
Honestly, I will even happily hunt in the beading section,
Yeah.
especially if I'm looking for something steampunkish, because they've started getting a lot of different pendants and beads that come in assortments. And you can do all sorts of fun things with those. But also because they have tools and implements for manipulating wire. So you know they have to be strong at least. So at least they're good tools. They're not going to suddenly break on you generally. And they've got things like anvils in there too. So that if you need to do grommet setting, you can do that. I was going to say paper crafting, but scrapbooking section is great. The wedding section, surprisingly, also a good place to look. And also for fun is the kids crafting section.
Right.
Especially if you're doing prop making. Because if you ever want to take something and pillage the parts out of it, especially for light up things, you can just buy a cheap kid's toy.
Oh, yeah. And then just pull it apart and then reassemble as needed.
Or if you want to have a nice sword for a Halloween costume, you can always pull a kid's sword, a kid's medieval sword, and then paper mache over it and make it look a little nicer for adults.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like $2 for a foam sword.
So easy.
Oh, yeah.
Modify to your heart's content. You don't have to build everything from scratch.
It's like closet cosplay, but better.
Yeah.
Nick Cage in the beading section. Yes, please. Hmm. I don't know, what would Nick Cage beads look like?
That's an important thing to add to the after session.
It'll be part of what's sold in the dealer's den for Nick Cage Con.
Yeah.
All right, do we have anything else for this episode before we head into the after session?
Let's wrap this up.
All right, so of course, if you guys would like to join in the conversation on your favorite stores to look for really awesome stuff to make cosplay with, or if you'd like to tell us about your latest escapades in your favorite local hardware store as you flummox the local store associates telling them what cool things you're using their products for that maybe they weren't intended for, please feel free to let us know on any of our social media, which you can find here.
For all of our video listeners and watchers, you can look at the information that's located right underneath Amber, because it'll always be located there. For our audio listeners, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter as CosPodcast.
Or, of course, if you would like to email us what Nick Cage costume you're working on right now, please feel free to email us, podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. Please stay safe, stay healthy out there. We will see you guys next time in episode 235. See you later, everybody.
Bye, guys.